There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your evidence, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you for joining me today. You know, I think last night I was expecting, for all of us Minnesotans, I was expecting like sleet and wintry weather and all this garbage, and I woke up singing hallelujah because we got none of that, and I have to say, I mean, I'm going to, every single week that we run into this, because it seems like every single week, the day I do my show, there's like either a blizzard or a snowfall the night before. I guarantee every week, if it does not happen, I'm going to be coming in here and making sure everyone knows how happy I am about that, because I just am probably the biggest baby in the world when it comes to driving in the snow. So, you know, and I don't want to hear people being like, well, why do you live in Minnesota? Because, you know, I live in Minnesota, okay? But I am a big baby about it, and every time it doesn't snow like that, it's a win for me. So I'm just going to say that. I also want to do a shout-out. This is my first day being on, also simulcasting on the Paranormal United Network 2, which is a Facebook network. There's two of them, Paranormal United Network and Paranormal United Network 2. And I'm on the second one. And they do all sorts of paranormal programming. In fact, my Ghost Box Live that I do Sunday nights at 10 p.m., where I do spirit box work, that is on Paranormal United Network. So they were very kind to let me simulcast this show onto that. So please, if you want to see some very good programming, please go over to Paranormal United Network or Paranormal United Network 2 and like their page and check out their programming. There's a lot of stuff to look at and enjoy. I guarantee it. You know, I always start my show by saying we're talking about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. And I'm not quite sure where we're going to put this today, because it is certainly not unusual. It is actually something very beautiful, and we're talking about magic. And our guest today is Madame Pomada, who is a candle maker, spell caster, tarot reader, teacher, author, and maker of magic, music, and mischief. She is the host of a popular YouTube channel, also the host of the Magic and the Law of Attraction podcast, and is the author of The Book of Candle Magic, published by Llewellyn Books, and also Madame Pomada's Magical Tarot, published by Wiser Books. She is also the proprietress of Online Spiritual Apothecary and the Parlor of Wonders, and lives in Santa Monica, California. You can find her at parlorofwonders.com. That's parlorofwonders.com. Madam Pomada, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And you know, we have to have another conversation another day. I know we're going to probably talk about everything today, but I've been doing all of this research on the Bigfoot of the Ukraine. So,
have you?
That'll be enough. Yes, I have. I'm half Ukrainian, and I'm doing a book on Slavic magic right now. And all I've been immersed in is doing all this research. And there is a Bigfoot in the Carpathian Mountains.
You know, it's interesting. We have not done a show yet here on Bigfoot. You know, we've been going for a while, and we have not done one. So maybe we'll have to think about how to get you in to talk about it, because it is such a fascinating concept, or you know, everything about it, because there's so many different viewpoints on it. And it's, you know, I guess I'm surprised to hear that you've been doing research on that. That is fantastic news.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's fascinating to me. I mean, I know we're going in a very different direction, but
right from the start. Yeah.
but the fact that in so many different cultures, all over the world that did not have contact with one another. I mean, we have to look at the fact that the contact between, let's say, for example, Ukraine and the Pacific Northwest is not going to be a huge amount of contact in the old days. And yet we still see these very similar, large humanoid, hairy creatures, and yeah, that story going in all different areas, up in high in the Himalayas, in the Pacific Northwest, and in the middle of Eurasia. So how does that happen?
Exactly. No, exactly. So yes, let's have you back on to talk about that, or we can talk about a little later. I do want to let everyone know that, you know, as you can see, this is already going to be a very interesting conversation, and you're invited to be part of the conversation. Feel free to call in and ask Madam Pamita live on the air any questions you have. The number you can call us at, not your number, the number you can call us at is 952-946-6205, or email us a comment or question. You can email comment at am950radio.com. Also right now, like I said at the top of the show, I am being simulcast on Facebook, the AM950 Facebook page, Paranormal United 2. You can check me out there. Also my Minnesota Ghost Box pages. There's a lot of ways to watch me in studio talk to a voice, because Madam Pamita is not in studio with me, but that's okay. We're going to be talking about a number of things. First of all, the reason why I wanted to have you on is because last year Llewellyn Books published your book of the Book of Candle Magic, and I'm holding it up for people to see, and it doesn't do it justice. And you and I were talking prior to the show about how beautiful this book is, just in overall, just, I mean, not even before you even get to all these amazing spells and all the hard work you put into it. You know, they say, like, the cover, for people who buy this stuff cold, the cover is so important. And this book is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you so much. I was so pleased with it, because, you know, as a writer, what you, I don't know, may or may not know, is that you send them a manuscript, which is just a typewritten thing, and you may make suggestions or ideas, or, you know, Llewellyn was so kind and said, you know, what kind of look are you looking for your cover, and give us some ideas. And so I sent them some suggestions of old books. I liked, you know, books that looked like they, you know, came from the turn of the century, turn of, you know, the 1900s. And so I sent them a couple books that had that kind of look, and I sent them some other ideas. And then they came back to me with this absolutely gorgeous, beautiful plum colored book with gold and silver foil stamp hardcover book. It looks like something you would find in an antique store. So I was just over the moon and thrilled with it when they brought that beautiful book to me. And the illustrations inside are so, so gorgeous.
It is a sumptuous, sumptuous book. You know, I've been doing radio shows on the paranormal and other such genre for a while now, and this is a relatively new show for me, doing the Twin Cities market. So one of the things that I kind of like to do is kind of do a bit of a step back. You know, I mean, there's going to be concepts here that we talk about that might be a little bit different for people who, you know, this isn't really, you know, their world. We talk about ghosts and stuff, and people could relate to that. But the idea of being able to do magic and be able to do spells and whatnot, what was the purpose of creating this book?
Well, the reason I do anything that I do is because I see that I look for something out in the world, and when it doesn't exist, I go, oh, that's my sign that I have to create it. Mm-hmm. Right? Be the change in the world you want to see. Right. So, there are many, many books, about candle magic, but the vast majority of them are recipe books, right? They say, you know, get a green candle, light it on a Friday, say these words, you know, use these herbs or whatever. They'll give you a recipe. And this is a spell for, you know, financial abundance, but they don't explain to you why you are choosing those things. So you're kind of beholden to the recipe, right? You just have to do what they say. there's no way for you to create your own. So what I set out to do with this book was to create a book that would take someone from very, very beginner, no experience at all, to quite advanced work, but teaching them the hows and the whys. Why do we use a certain color of candle? Or how can we create a spirit altar or an ancestor altar? That's another whole section in there. We can talk about, you know, spirits and ancestors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in working in this way, it was a way for people to, it's a way for people to understand the concepts. There are a few recipes in there to give examples, but it's more of, instead of giving you a recipe book, it's teaching you how to be a chef.
Sure.
Right? So that you can create, you know, just like a chef can walk into a kitchen, look what's in the fridge and create a fantastic meal from whatever you've got. That's what I wanted to empower people to do, to be able to create their own spells and to create their own work that was in alignment with their own spiritual practice, that was in alignment with whatever level of knowledge that they are. And so my book doesn't have, it isn't based on any religion. So anyone of any faith or no faith at all can come into that book and create. So it's kind of a different approach than the vast majority of candle magic books out there, which are just recipe books, which are great recipe books, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I have a whole collection of those books. But I wanted to be able to give people the empowerment to be able to create something from scratch. And nothing out there did that. So.
That's a very interesting take on it. It's kind of like if you're making marinara sauce, you may want to add sugar, but maybe people don't know why they're adding the sugar. And mm-hmm. it's context, and it helps them grow, and it allows them, it gives them that freedom to go further. I want to explore that a little bit more, but we're going to take our first break. So when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with spellcaster, magic maker, and so much more, Madam Pamita. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is spellcaster, magic maker, and so much more, Madam Pamita. And before we get back to her, I just want to say that I read in the comments, Marianne Richardson is saying that she is also a baby when it comes to snow, and she was also born and raised in Minnesota, and it's good to see that we're not alone. I know there's more than us, but still, it's one of those massive anxiety things. And, you know, is there a spell in here for me to not get so freaked out over driving in the snow, or is that just the fact I'm just a baby and there's nothing we can do about it?
I'm going to back you up on that one. I have friends in Minneapolis, really dear friends in Minneapolis, and I have been there in January, and I have driven in January, and it is no joke.
No.
You guys have to be hardy stock to be able to, you know, navigate those slippery roads, look out for black ice, all of those things. I mean, you have to pay attention. So, yeah, you could do protection spells for sure.
I'm just lucky it's been a very mild winter here so far. You know, I wanted to back up even just a little bit further, and this actually should have probably been my first question. For those who are kind of curious, what is candle magic?
Ah, that's a great question. So magic in and of itself, if we look at what does magic mean? Magic means you are influencing something to your will. You have an intention, you have a desire, you have something that you want or you want to prevent or something like that. And you use your intention to create and shift something in that direction, right? That's the concept of magic. Now, why we use candles in magic is because if we have an adept magician, someone who's very, very experienced in focusing their will and focusing their intention, can just come up with the thought and can really project that very strongly. And they don't need any accessories to do that. We sort of in the popular culture, we see this in like the law of attraction, for example, where someone can say, you know, I am a millionaire, and they really believe it and they have that concept in their mind, and then they see the evidence of that coming toward them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not going into a place of doubt. Now, the reality is that most of us aren't that adept. We have an idea. I want love in my life. And then we have a counter idea. That little voice in our head goes, oh, but I'm too old. Oh, but all the good ones are taken. Oh, but I don't ever pick the right ones, or all men or women are jerks, or whatever negative thought we have. So we have this dance that we do that's like a step forward into what we want, but then a step back into doubting that, or doubting that reality that we want to bring in because we don't see the evidence of it in front of our face. So when we bring in these other elements like candles, herbs, oils, incantations, words, written spells, any of those things, what we're doing is we're empowering something in the direction that we want it to go, but that thing is going to carry it in that direction, even if we're a little wobbly in our intention. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, it's interesting, and not to derail a little bit, but, you know, some of the stuff that I've been watching and stuff, a very good friend of mine, she's a psychic medium, tarot card reader, Anne, who is extremely positive. And I think, you know, the thing that I've learned from her over the years is what you just were saying, you know, kind of, you know, like you have those self-doubts, right? Like you just said, you know, it's like, you know, who am I to demand success? Mm-hmm. But why can't I demand success? Well, why can't I demand the stuff that I want? You know, and maybe demand's too strong of a word, but at least why do I not deserve it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, we often feel, I don't know if it's programming by our culture or what it is, but we feel that if we get the thing, we're greedy or we're taking away from someone else.
Yeah.
But there really is enough to go around. And whether it's money, health, I mean, health is a great example of that. Your health doesn't take away the health of anyone else, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if you're doing an intention for good health, we don't need to feel guilty or like we're taking away from someone else, or, you know, that we're, you know, being greedy in any way. And the same thing really is in all aspects of life, whether it's abundance or if it's love or if it's, you know, success, we're not taking from someone else. You being a worldwide radio phenomenon or a leader in the world of paranormal discoveries is not going to take away from someone else being also a leader. Right.
Yeah.
So we can get into that very positive, focused intention about what it is that we want, feel deserving of that. That's a very important aspect of that, and set that intention in motion. But the fact is, we are usually pretty wobbly when we have an intention. We think it and then we back off from it, or we doubt it, or we think it's not possible, or whatever, you know, kind of diminishing belief we've put in our own brains comes in there, and that sort of pulls it back from what it is that we want. So when you're doing a spell with a candle is a great example, we're setting something in motion and it's going in motion. It's like pushing a ball. Once you push the ball's going to go. So even if you are going, I don't know if that can happen, or if I don't know if I can do that, or I don't know if it's possible, that ball is still going to roll. That's why we do candle magic. So that's my nutshell description of why candle magic.
Well, and first of all, I'm glad that you've recognized me as a worldwide radio authority. I mean, it's about time someone does. secondly, you know, it's also comes down to the intention also of what you want. I would assume that, you know, if you go in there with an open heart and one that just wants to be able to better oneself opposed to anything more, you know, that wrong, you know, not evil, you know, but you know what I mean? It's a good intention, bad intention. I mean, that mm-hmm, has to, mm-hmm. that plays a massive part in it too, doesn't it?
Well, for me personally, I mean, one of the things I talk about in the book is creating your own ethical standards.
Sure.
So I cannot say to someone, you know, you can't do a spell to, you know, break up that couple over there because you want to go out with one of the couple. It's not my place to say what's right for you. It's
right.
Your place to say what's right for you. However, for my own practice, I focus on totally positive outcomes because that's my personality, I guess.
Yeah.
So you won't find curses in this book. You won't find anything, you know, directing things in that direction. That doesn't mean that those things don't exist or that they're not possible to do, but that's not who I am. So I don't, it's not my level of expertise because I don't do that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you can, you know, people sometimes will say, well, how do you conjure demons? I go, I don't know. I don't conjure demons. So I'm not the wrong person to ask, you know?
And why do you want to conjure demons? You
know? Exactly. Exactly. I want nice people at my party, not a bunch of troublemakers. So, yeah.
So we're talking about Madame Pamita's book, The Book of Candle Magic. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And we're going to also talk a little bit about her YouTube series, her podcast, everything else she has going on. There's a lot to talk about here. And don't forget, you can call in and write in with your questions. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. We'll be right back. Don't forget, every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on both my Facebook profile page and my Ghostbox Radio Facebook page, plus Paranormal United Network, you can see me do a live Spirit Box session as I try to reach out to your loved ones using the Spirit Box. I don't guarantee responses, but I do guarantee a respectful communication with spirits. Last Sunday, we had quite the adventure. For those of you who tuned in, we were able to get quite a few interesting responses and stuff. And this is very interactive. Everybody has a chance to listen, join in, share what you hear. Join me tonight. Join me at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for my live Spirit Box session. See what it's like. You can, like I said, check it out at the Paranormal United Network. There's two of them, Paranormal United Network and Paranormal United Network 2. Please go to those pages and like them and check out the other programming they do there. You know, we have Ane on every third Sunday of the month, and she does weekly live tarot card readings, free one-question readings there. Please check it out. I think that you will find all the stuff that's being offered there, really, really cool. If you want to send me a note, ask me a question, or need my help for a paranormal investigation of your business or home, you can send me an email. My email address is greg@ghostboxradio.com, or you can reach out to me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is, I have two of them, @gregbert007 or @mnghostbox. You know, if you also have a comment about the show, you could send me one there, but also you can send it to the radio station. In fact, I got a very nice one this week from Suzanne. I just wanted to thank you, Suzanne, very much for taking the time and writing a very, very nice note. It really made my day. I do appreciate it. And if you miss Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken live on Sundays, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes or anywhere that has podcasts. But after listening, please leave a positive review for my show. That really helps me, and I would greatly appreciate it. We now return to our conversation with our guest, spellcaster, magic maker, so much more than that, though, Madame Pamita. And, you know, we've been talking about the Book of Candle Magic. And once again, anyone who wants to join into the conversation, please give us a call, 952-946-6205. You can email us a comment. The email address is comment@am950radio.com. And right now I am on a lot of different Facebook pages that I'm streaming, including AM 950 and Paranormal United Network 2. If you want to leave a comment there, please do so. And now I feel like I've been talking for about 10 minutes straight. Let's bring back Madame Pamita. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you have going on. You know, writing this amazing book is just one of them. You know, you have, I want to know more about your podcast. I'm a big podcast guy. I love making them. I love listening to them. The Magic and the Law of Attraction. What is that podcast about?
Well, that is a podcast that I do kind of intermittently, depending on how busy I am.
I totally understand. Yeah.
So I know there's some great people out there like yourself that can do a thing once a week. I go through spates where I'll do it for a few months, and then I get, like, now I'm working on another book, and so I have no free time at all, and so I don't have any new episodes in the can. So it comes and goes, but it's a podcast that you can listen to. Really, it's not time sensitive. It's always about all kinds of aspects of magic, from beginning level stuff to like working with color magic or what to do if you are feeling doubtful about your spells, just like we were mentioning before. So working with spirit guides, working with ancestors, creating ancestor altars. So there's lots of, you know, different things related to magic that I'm interested in or that people ask me questions about. Really, that's where it comes to, is that people ask questions. I pick a question and then I go into great detail about 20 or 30 minute podcast episode about that topic. And so I teach what I know. My passion is being a teacher. That's my number one passion. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I was going to ask about that because that's, you know, it feels very much like you very much want to share the information that you have. When did you realize that, you know, first of all, that you had these gifts, that you had, you know, that wanting to share this out to the rest of the world was important to you? When did that start for you?
Well, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a magical household. My mom, who is Ukrainian American or was Ukrainian American. She's since passed on, but, my grandparents were from Ukraine. My mother was born in Philadelphia, but, you know, grew up in a Ukrainian household. Right. And in the Slavic countries, folk magic is totally practiced, even though they're Catholic countries, either Orthodox or Roman Catholic, the vast majority of the people, they practice magic, folk magic alongside that more traditional religion. So I grew up in a magical household, and it was when I was 10 years old, my mom bought me my first tarot deck, for example. We were in Salem, Massachusetts, and she bought me a tarot deck back in 1974. So this, you know, growing up, there wasn't a time that magic wasn't permeating my life. And I like to say that my first candle magic I did when I was a child, because in the Catholic Church, they have candles you can put money in and light a candle and say a prayer. That's candle magic. So I don't think there ever was a time that I wasn't practicing magic or I wasn't doing this. Now, in terms of being more studying it and, you know, learning how to read the tarot, for example, or learning about candle magic, that didn't happen for me until my teens and my 20s. Then I started really studying, reading, finding books, reading books, becoming more serious. But yeah, I was fortunate to grow up in a household where magic was accepted. It wasn't feared and it was practiced. So
do you find it interesting? Because it was interesting what you just said. Do you find it ever interesting that people might come to you and say, well, you know, I don't really know what magic is. I've never done it. I've never done anything that like that. But in fact, you find out that there is stuff that's in our culture that is magic, or at least it certainly feels like it's rooted in such. And what I thought about, you know, when you're talking about candle magic, and, you know, that you light a candle and you say, you know, you say a prayer for it or something, is that, you know, we do that in many churches, that you have the candles, you light a candle, and you wish something good for somebody, you wish them health, you wish them whatever. And do you run into that where people don't realize that they're actually, you know, that maybe faith kind of, there's roots of magic in that, roots of spells and roots of other things that people are actually probably maybe surprised to realize?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting, it's just a perspective, right? Because if you've thrown a coin into a fountain and made a wish, you've done magic. So I think everybody has done that, you know, regardless. I think we've all done that, but we just don't have the perspective that we are doing magic. If you wished on a falling star, or you, you know, make a wish on blowing out your candles on your birthday, that's all, that is magic, right? That is magic. Now it's totally socially acceptable magic. It's, you know, culturally accepted. But we all are doing magic. I have to tell you a fun story.
Yeah.
One of my dear friends who lives in Minneapolis, she and I, she's not a magic practitioner, but she likes doing these magical things. You know, she's not someone, this is not her, you know, path or her interest, but I made this little diorama, and she said, I'm going to turn this into the diorama of wishes do come true. And so she would put a post-it note in this little diorama that I made and left at her house in Minneapolis. And the things that she would write on that post-it note would come to fruition. that's magic.
It is.
So it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be something that you proclaim yourself to be a witch, or you're, you know, doing a Wiccan path or some other thing like that. This doesn't have to be something that is a big deal. It's just recognizing that you're doing magic and maybe doing a little bit more of it in your life, you know, being more intentional with your wishing and your thoughts and your words. That's basically what it is. Yeah.
I was just going to say that, because we, as we had talked earlier, the whole idea of, like, you know, I'm, you know, you could apply it to like throwing a coin into the fountain. And when you throw it in, you're like, ah, you know, I know it's not going to really work. You know, you immediately ruin that. Right. But, you know, if you put it in there, it's like, I think people feel weird about it, though, like that you're putting all your hopes and energy on throwing a quarter into a fountain, you know, and like, you know, a wish upon a star. And then you're like, you know, really wanting that star to come to you. And you kind of you have to be OK with yourself, I think, to a little bit, and not feel necessarily silly, because I think we're conditioned to believe that we can't put, you know, hope into objects that we don't have control over, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I say, these objects that we were working with, when we're working with a candle or we're working with a coin. And I want to tell you, by the way, you're a big spender. I always throw a penny in a fountain. I don't throw a quarter in a fountain.
But I'm the world's authority on radio, remember? So, you know, I can do that.
Spender.
Yep. Yep.
you know, when I think about those things, it's like those things, just let them have the life of their own. Let that wish have its life. Right. If you're sending, imagine your wish being like a little Tinkerbell fairy that you're sending off. You don't want to squash it in your hands like a, you know, old fly or something. Let that fairy fly. Let that wish go. Like, make your wish and then just leave it alone. You don't have to think about it positively or negatively. Just get out of the way, you know.
Right.
And don't get negative about it. You know, that's probably the best advice I can give anyone that is working with whatever path. Now, you know, if you want to add your deity, if you want to add God, Jesus, Mary, you know, Shiva or whoever to the mix, go ahead. That's fine. You can invite them, your angels, whoever, to come in and support your work, and then let it go. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it do its thing. You know,
it's really refreshing. And it's also good to hear, you know, that the book, you know, the Book of Candle Magic is kind of created where it doesn't have, you know, it doesn't have, it's open to anybody's religious faith or whatever. Do you run into that, though, with people being like, well, you know, this goes against my religion, this goes against my belief system?
That is a funny thing. I think it's so funny when people come and they say, I can't do candle magic because it's evil or it's wrong or it's of the devil. And I go, that's okay. I'm not an evangelist for candle magic. If you want to do it, do it. And if it goes against your ethics, then don't do it. You know, if that's your path, that's fine. It's not like I'm going to get brownie points for converting people to doing candle spells.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so, you know, that's one of the things that I talk about in the book, in that part where we talk about ethics. I the first question I sort of propose that you reflect on is, what's my spiritual path and what is my spiritual path's beliefs around magic? If it is something that your religious beliefs clash with it, then don't do it. It's okay. You know, it's really just for people that are interested. If you're not interested, it's no skin off my nose. It doesn't really, you know, that's okay. You can do whatever your religion says is okay.
Do you think they're looking for permission from you, though, in some ways? Because I've had it with people in the paranormal, you know, people who have religious backgrounds who say to me, well, I have a religious background. I do not believe, you know, I do not believe in ghosts, but they kind of tell me about their spiritual encounters. And I always feel like that they're kind of looking for a little bit of, it's okay, you know, and it's like, I give them the same response that you just gave, but on a paranormal sort of thing. It's like, I'm not here to tell you what's right or what's wrong. You know, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? I'm going to, before I don't mean to cut you off, we'll come back to this. We're going to take our last break, and we're going to finish up talking about the Book of Candle Magic with Madam Pamita. This is Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And as we finish up this final segment, we also finish up our discussion about driving on the horrible roads in Minnesota when it gets bad. And I laughed at a comment that was put into the Facebook chat, and that was when we were talking about if there was a spell that would make things easier to drive in Minnesota. Anne put into the chat, she said it's called Valium. And trust me, if I could, I would be going out there, you know, having a couple drinks in me when I go out there. But that sort of thing is frowned by society. So I don't do such things. But, you know, sometimes, boy, you just really want to do something to avoid it. And I tend to just stay home. And, you know, luckily I have very few friends. So it makes it a lot easier and very nice. Plus, this pandemic makes it easier to stay home and not be in the snow either. Join us next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken as we bring on author Shannon Bradley Byers. Over the years, some of the facts of well-known paranormal locations have become exaggerated to the point of ridiculousness or shaming of people's legacies. Next week, we focus on Shannon's book, Paranormal Folklore Nevermore, Real Histories of Haunted Locations. I've talked to her before. It's going to be a very, very fascinating conversation. For our final segment, we return to our conversation with our guest, spellcaster, magic maker, and so much more, Madam Pamita. You know, here we are, where we ended the last section, and I rudely cut you off. We were talking about, you know, what seems to me when people come up to us, you know, whether it's magic for you or paranormal for me, and they're kind of like challenging, like, well, you know, my belief system is this and that. I always do feel like it's a little bit of asking for permission, like, oh, if you're saying it's okay, then maybe it will be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that people are also trying to figure out, especially with paranormal stuff. You know, I am a spiritualist. So, I mean, to me, that's like second nature, working with spirits and getting messages from spirits and having spirit encounters. So when we have those kind of experiences, if we don't have a reference point in our faith or a framework in our belief system, I think that they are probably trying to say, like, how do I mesh this with what I've been told? You know, or how do I mesh this with, you know, science, for example? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a religion. It can be science, you know, especially with the paranormal. People are like, but science says that's not real. But yet I've seen this incident. I've had this incident. So I think they're trying to figure out, you know, trying to figure out how to mesh those two, and they're asking for your help, I guess.
I think that's very true. I actually had a situation with Anne and I were stopped in Tombstone, Arizona once, where we were stopped by somebody who just wanted to talk. For some reason, he was drawn to us, and he wanted to talk about a situation he had with some ghostly figure walking through his house like a year before his mom died, and he attributed the two together. And I think it was kind of a do not compute sort of moment for him, where he was just trying to figure out, how do I rationalize what I've been brought up with my whole life versus what I'm seeing before my eyes? And like what you're saying with candle magic and everything that you're doing, it's like I don't see how they can't live together. They can totally live together. Your belief system and what you're seeing, they can mesh together. And that was something that, you know, I find it, I hope that some more people kind of are able to experience that and be able to reconcile both together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as they probably expose themselves to more of that, or start to think in new ways, you know, or look at something from a different point of view, they can start to reconcile the two. You know, it doesn't mean like the baby, it's not black and white. It's not like the baby out with the bathwater. If you have had a paranormal experience, for example, and yet you're a person of science and a rational person of science, it doesn't mean that all the rational things are out the door. It just means that maybe there's more to something than what we know. I mean, if you know about science, medicine, for example, you know, the human body is so unbelievably complex that we don't have a handle on it, even though, you know, medicine wants us to believe that we have a handle on these things. We only have the tip of the iceberg, the knowledge of the tip of the iceberg. Same thing goes with science and the paranormal. We may not be able to explain it in scientific terms, but that doesn't mean it isn't real. It just means that that part of the iceberg is submerged under the water, and we will get more information as time goes on, you know?
Well, I'm thinking too that, you know, the term like medicine man, you know, from way back, you know, centuries ago doing medicine, what they see, what if they were to see what we do now, that would be magic. That would be, you know, beyond their comprehension. You know, it's all, like you said earlier, a matter of perspective. Now, your book, The Book of Candle Magic, can that be picked up at, I know it could be picked up on Amazon. Could that also be picked up at your website, parlorofwonders.com?
Yes. Yeah. So if anyone wants a signed copy of it, I have signed copies available on my website, Parlor of Wonders. You just go to shop and then look at books and then you'll see it right there at the top. I'm also encouraging people, you know, you can go to Amazon, of course, and get it, but I'm really encouraging people to reach out to their local mom and pop bookstore or their local mom and pop metaphysical store. Like during, you know, my book came out during the pandemic, and I've been encouraging people to keep those beautiful stores going. Those, you know, I don't think Jeff Bezos needs another $18, $19, whatever it is. He's all right. But our little mom and pop stores really could use our support right now. So if you reach out to your local bookstore, your local metaphysical store, spiritual supply store, and ask them to get that book for you, you can support them and get a great book. And, so you're getting double good karma.
And I would assume, being, you know, in the Twin Cities, I would assume for Twin Cities readers, that could be White Buffalo in Anoka could be a good possibility. You know, White Buffalo, that one's on me. But you know, I mean, that's a very good point. And those are great places to go. And also, especially a metaphysical shop, there's going to be a whole lot of other things there that's beyond even books and people with great knowledge of, you know, if you're especially you're dipping your toe into this to this world, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be really able to help you and set you on your way, as well as get you this amazing book. And also, people need to check out your site, Parlors of Wonder. And also, are you doing new YouTube? I mean, I know that the podcast is kind of, you know, it's all a matter about being busy. Are you doing any new YouTube videos?
I've got some YouTube videos that are coming up that I'm doing some excerpts of the book, but I also have a live show that I do every Sunday it's at 7 p.m. Central to 8 p.m. Central. It's something that we do on Zoom. And if people want to join us, it's every Sunday except for the first Sunday of the month. The first Sunday of the month, I offer a paid workshop at that time at 7 p.m. Central. And the next one coming up actually in February is next Sunday, a week from today. And it's going to be on love potions, easy love potions that people can make, and teaching how to make that. But yes, they can go to spellsquad.com. They can sign up and they can join me. And those are live events that then I post later on YouTube, where we interview people and talk about magic and answer questions.
The book is called The Book of Candle Magic. Madam Pamita, thank you very much for joining us.
That's so great. Thank you, Greg.
And this is Ghostbox Radio. We'll be back next week with Shannon Bradley Byers.